Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Young Israel Passaic Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insight to the Daf series. Tonight's shir is on Maseches Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, concluding the end of the second parak. We'll be learning the Ilu Nishmas Avram Shoah ben Shalom and Salma, Erez Natali's father, Zichrono Livracha. And the topic of the shir is personal tefillos in Shemona Esrei, the when, the what, and the why. The Gemara, starting from the bottom of Tezayin Lebeis and ending with the middle of Yitzayin and Aleph, discusses several tefillos that were added by different Tanoim and Amoraim after the Daven Shemona Esrei. What's the reasoning behind this practice? So the Tzlach brings down the reason for this additions is based upon a Mishnah that appears later on in the fourth parak. The Mishnah there reasons, Amar Rabbi Elezer, Ha'os tefillos okeva, if somebody makes a tefillah, something set, what we call keva, ain't filaso tachanunim, his tefillah does not have the status of a proper supplication. Now we should note that before continuing, it doesn't mean that a person is not yotzei tefillah, because tefillah is a mitzvah that's accomplished by reciting the words that were formulated by the Anshei Knesset Sagdola three times a day. Rather, there's another aspect to tefillah. That aspect is building a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the tefillos that we pray. And Rabbi Elezer is saying that one who makes his tefillos into something keva is missing that aspect. Now, what exactly does this mean? So the Gemara in Chav Tesam and Beis explains, my keva, what is keva? And we give three different opinions. I'm Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Idiom, Rav Oshia, Kol she tefilaso dome alav kemasoi. Somebody whose tefillah, to him, is like a burden. Meaning, when he davens, he approaches davening like, oh, I gotta go ahead and do it again. So somebody who approaches davening with that attitude, that tefillah is not going to be so endeared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Rabban Namri, Rav Dabanan say, Kol Misha'inu Omrah Beloshu Tachanunim. Somebody doesn't say it in a way where it looks like you're beseeching Hashem. Meaning you're missing the passion, you're missing the power. And Rabba the Rav Yosef to Amri Tarvayu, Kol She'inu Yochol L'Chadish Badavar. Anytime that you daven, you're unable to add something new. And the idea behind this, especially this last thing, is that you have all these three things. It appears to be a burden. It's not said in the style of supplication. You're not adding anything to it. They have a common theme. And that is your tefillah is somewhat stale. It's missing the passion, the spiritual oomph, so to speak. So comes the Tzlach and concludes that these chachamim added unique aspects of their personalities, things that apply to them, things that make a person relate to Hashem as best as he can. By doing this, they turn their tefillos into a real experience for them. So it comes out from the Tzlach two interesting points. First, it would appear that these tefillos were commonly said by these chachamim, kind of like what we see in Pirkei Avos, that each statement mentioned in the Mishnayos there is really, so to speak, a sort of mantra that they had, a statement that they took with them, a statement that they were known for. Here too, these tefillos are the specific additions that they normally said. However, since each of these was constructed personally by each of these Amoraim, even though it was something that they said all the time, they maintained the quality of Tachanunim. So the idea of Tachanunim is not necessarily to be mechadesh or to come up with something new all the time, but rather something that speaks to you. One such aspect is from the Tefillah of Rav, also known what we could know as Rosh Chodesh benching, whereas the Gemara reads, on the bottom of Tezayin Amud Beis, it says, Rav Basrud Slosi Amar Hachi, Rav would say this, Yiretzon Lefanecho Hashem Elokeinu, Shatite Lanu, Chaim Aruchim, Chaim Shel Sholom, Chaim Shel Tova, Chaim Shel Bracha, Chaim Shel Parnasa, Chaim Shel Chilus Hatzamos, Chaim Sheish Bem Yira Shemayim, Yira Schait, Chaim Shem Bem Busho Chlima, Chaim Shel Shevichavod, Chaim Shete Banu Avas Torah, Yira Shemayim, Chaim Shetamali Lanu, Eskal Mishalosi, Ben Latova, which is pretty much what we add in when we spend Rosh Chodesh every month, Ashkenazim. Of course, Rav didn't say Shetachadish Aleinu, because if Rav is saying this every single day, so obviously Rav is not going to be saying this Shetachadish Aleinu as a Chodesh Hazeh every single day. However, this tefillah that we say once a month, because it has such an aspect and it has such a dimension in terms of the things that we need at the beginning of each month, to take each time before we start Rosh Chodesh and to look at it as like a time to go ahead and stop for a moment and say Kodesh Baruch Hu, let's take a little bit of an account. The past month was this, and now I want to see what's important in my life. And I'm focusing on what's important and so on. But this was something that Rav said every day and was getting back to the point that we said from the Tzlach, that it was something personal, I saw a very interesting explanation by the Birkas Aaron, who showed how so many aspects of this tefillah really connected with Rav. And here's a couple of examples. The tefillah says, Chaim Shel Shalom. What's the idea of Chaim Shel Shalom having to do with Rav? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin which tells us, explaining a pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, where the pasuk says, V'lekach li shtei maklos, I took two sticks, V'lechad karasi Noam, one I called Noam or pleasantry, V'lechad karasi Chovlim, and the other one I called destroyers. And the Gemara over there explains, Noam refers to the Talmid Chachamim Eretz Yisrael, that are very pleasant with each other when they learn. Chovlim, though, are the Talmid Chachamim of Bavel, who destroy each other in Halacha. And since Rav lived in Bavel, he davened that in Bavel there would also be this peace between Talmid Chachamim. Now, of course, we're not talking about that, you know, they would fight and have petty fights and petty difficulties and stuff like that, but it means the style and the toughness that was there. And people learned in yeshivas, and people sometimes learned in the more European-style yeshivas, or people who have had experiences with European-style rebbeim know that there was a certain toughness, there was a certain edge in amongst those rebbeim when they taught. And that was purely, when they taught, that was purely milchamto shel Torah, but still, when a rebbe gives you a zing, it could still hurt. So Rav davened that the culture in Bavel was to give people zings, that they shouldn't be so zinged. That's the Chaim Shel Shalom. What's the idea of Chaim Shel Bracha? So this is based on another Gemara, Gemara in Kedushin, which says, Chanuf and Gassus Ruach came down to Bavel. And Gemara in Sota tells us, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Chanufa, somebody who is a flatterer, Afilu Obrim Shebimei Imam, even the children in the womb, the Kalim also, they curse them. So what we're talking about over there is, again, there was a lot of cultural gassus haruach, which is not in the category of bracha. So Rav tried to counter this. Parnasa, the Gemara in Kedushin says, Asar Kabin Anius Yardul Olam and Tisha Notla Bavel. There were 10 kabim, or measures of poverty, that went down to the world, and Bavel took 9 of them. So you see, it's an impoverished society. So Rav is davening for that. And this continues on until the following, we'll go to the last one, where Rav comes and davens in his tefillah, and he says, Chaim Sheish Bahem Yira Shamayim V'Yira Schait. Here he also referred to two Gemaros. One Gemara is found in a Adarim that says, V'nasan Hashem Lecha Lev Ragaz. That pasuk of the Tocha refers to Bavel. And the Bavel was a place of anger. And the Gemara later on in the fourth parak tells us, quoting Eliyahu Navi, Lo tirtach v'lo techte, a person shouldn't get angry. And if he doesn't get angry, he's not going to sin. This verse, of course, teaches us that one of the causes of chait is ka'as, or anger. By having this extra bit of yira shamayim, it serves a protection against the anger and the subsequent sinning. So you see that this tefillah was personalized for Rav. And it tells you that by personalizing it, that personalizing it is something that is what makes it relevant, even if it's something that you attempt to say more than once. Second aspect, of course, is that the tefillos that were mentioned were not limited only to the Amoraim. It's true that some of the tefillos have become part of our liturgy. The Elokai Achin Otsarti has become part of the end of the Yom Kippur liturgy at the end of our Shemona Esrei by Vidui. And of course, the very famous tefillah, which we're going to be speaking about shortly, the tefillah of Marba Ravina, Elokai Nitzar. So that's kind of become the unofficial ending of Shemona Esrei, even though one of the things we're going to be speaking about exactly where does Shemona Esrei end. But these things are their tefillos, but that's not limited only to their tefillos. We have the ability and the invitation to add new things into our tefillah to make sure that our tefillah is something more of tachanunim and not something which is keva. Now regarding this idea of adding tachanunim and extra tefillos into davening, which we do every Shemona Esrei by reciting the tefillah of Mar Bar Ravina, which is Elokai Nitzar, we have to ask a couple of questions. We ask two questions. First, what's the permissibility of adding on? And second, what's the status of these particular sections in relation to not interrupting one's personal Shemona Esrei? So regarding this, we have several approaches in the Rishonim. In order to do this, though, we refer back to a Gemara on Daf Testament Beis, which tells us there's a need to recite Yiyu L'Ratzonim Refi Ve'Gonli B'Lefanecha Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. At least what the Gemara says. That at the end of our davening, we recite which is at the end of the 19th parak of Shmona Esrei, 19th parak of Tehillim, which the Gemara calculates is actually the 18th parak, which corresponds to Shmona Esrei. The question is, though, do we need to recite the Yerotzon right away? Could we say Tachlinu before or not? Well, the Rav, it says that since the Gemara says that Tefillah concludes with the Yerotzon, there may not be a hefsek between Hamavarech HaSamo Yisrael V'Shalom and Yerotzon Refi, because that's what Shemon Esrei is. Any Tachanunim that are added, including Elokai Netzor, that which we have adopted as part of our davening, but is not officially part of the davening, may not be recited until after Yilu Ratzon is said. The Talmidim Rabbeinu Yonah say that one does not need to end Shmon Esrei by reciting Yilu Ratzon in Refi. And what's the reason? Because there are other parts of Shmon Esrei, such as Shema Koleinu, where it's permissible to add something in. Saying these tefillos after Hamavarech HaSamo Shalom has no problem as far as Hefzik is concerned. If I can daven to succeed in my job interview, if I can daven that my school day goes well during Shema Koleinu, then I certainly have the license and the right to say Elokeinu Shama, Elokeinu Sar at the end of davening. What would be a nafkamina? The nafkamina between the two reasons would be reciting Kiddush and answering Amen before you read Ratzon HaMrifi. According to the Ravid, you the Ratzon HaMrifi is an integral part of Shema Esri, the same as Baruch Aleinu. Just like we don't interrupt Baruch Aleinu to answer, we don't interrupt for Kedusha before Yerotzon. Conversely, according to the Talmid of Rabbi Yonah, there's no issue for interrupting Elokai Nesar for Kedusha. As we were interrupting it for the regular private Tachanunim, then certainly we can interrupt it for Kedusha as well. It happens to be that this is also brought down by the Shulchan Aruch, with the Mechaber following the opinion of the Ravid, and the Ramah following the Talmid of Rabbi Yonah. Now the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the best idea is to say Yerotzon after Shmon Esri immediately, so you avoid any machlokas. What is interesting, though, is that there are those who said that they can find a raya to the fact that you say Yehuda Rotzon Refi at the end of Shmon Esrei after these Tachanunim, for the fact if you look at our Nusach of Elokai Netzor. We look at our Nusach of Elokai Netzor. The Nusach of Elokai Netzor goes through the whole Tefillah, and then it ends with the words, so there, look over this. We see that you say at the end, and clearly you can add Tachanunim. So that seems to be a proof that you could add the Tachanunim. However, those who disagree will say that no. The reason why they're putting that extra layer of that second Yerotzon is because what we're dealing with is because you're adding an extra aspect of davening. Part of those extra tefillos were the Yehuda Ratzon HaMrifi in addition to what they said before, meaning you would have a Yehuda Ratzon HaMrifi and then that to that Tachanunim, and the final Yehuda Ratzon is going on those Tachanunim as well. So just to conclude, Rav Hirsch in his commentary to the story of Cain and Hevel in Parashas Bereishis makes the following observation. Two people can bring identical korbanos and recite the same tefillos, and yet appear unequal in the eyes of Hashem. This is made clear in the connection with the offerings of these brothers. The Torah does not say, and Hashem turned to the mincha of Ba'isha Hashem el Hevel, but it says, V'elkayim del minchaso lo shah. I'm sorry, the pasuk says, Ba'isha el Hevel del minchaso, V'elkayim del minchaso lo shah. Hashem turned to Cain, and Hashem turned to Hevel and his korban, but to Cain and his korban did not turn. The difference was not in the offerings itself, but it was in the offerers. Cain was unacceptable. Therefore, his offering was unacceptable. Hevel, on the other hand, was pleasing. Therefore, his korban was pleasing. The same is true with Shmona Esrei. What these Chachamim are teaching us in the Gemara is, add in, put something personal. Be personify your davening, because by doing this, it creates the difference between a tefillah that is accepted and a tefillah that is not. And maybe learn from this to put this oomph into our tefillos and take an opportunity to use the time to speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam that's given to us properly. Kol Tov, have a wonderful week.